Howdy, everyone, and welcome to the Pony Development Sync for July 19th, 2017. That kind of scares me. I feel like it was June 19th, just 2 or 3 days ago. I don't know how time moves so quickly, but there we go. Shall we start with a couple ROCs, Joe?
I don't see why not.
So we have RFC 95 for a match iterator that looked good to me, and I believe you approved it. So that's Kevin's. Do we want to move that over to final comment period?
Yeah. I'll do that.
I did. But if you could, email the appropriate things, and here, let me add that to the last week in Pony issue, so I'll remember to do that. RC in final comment period. Boom. Okay. Add that. Awesome. Then I had a question on. Wow, I could have sworn I put it on the lambda and array literal interface. I guess I never hit send on the one question I had on that, Joe. And I thought if we could take a moment to discuss just one tiny bit of it.
Sure.
In the lambda one, at the very end, it says, line 88. However, we don't want to needlessly break existing code, so in the absence of an antecedent type, the existing intrinsic inference rules should remain. If we weren't worrying about breaking code, do you think we would still want to use those intrinsic inference rules, or might those rules end up causing confusion later on down the road?
I mean, it's a good question. If you know what you're doing, I think they allow you to leave some stuff out while still not requiring an antecedent type. They seem like they're kind of useful, but at the same time, they are often confusing for new users, so maybe that just means they need to be documented better. Or maybe there are some changes we might want to make to them. I was kind of considering that to be outside the scope of this RFC and just say this RFC was not going to change those, but if we want to discuss them, we can.
Well, that's also a reasonable one. It was just I got drawn in by the we don't want to break the existing code, and I was like, well, we are pre-1.0, so maybe like we should have a conversation about whether those existing rules should stay or not. We could just say that's outside of the scope of this one and that we could address those at a different point in time.
Yeah, I think that's what I would say. I think having that conversation would be a good idea because we might want to make some changes, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that was really the only thing I had for a question on that one. It was just I wasn't sure whether that was if that was really the full thinking or if it was something else. And I was like, I don't know how these things would interact, but you know, just adding it in, leaving the other stuff, and then seeing how it goes seems like a perfectly reasonable approach to me.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of how they interact. If an antecedent type is present, the intrinsic rules will just be skipped because it'll use the antecedent type. So so I don't think they're getting in the way of this RFC.
Cool. All right. So we have one more. We have the Gen Cap one. That was actually 7 days ago. It went to final comment. Are you ready for a vote on that, Joe? Do you feel like that's ready for a vote?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, let's do some vote. Hopefully everybody hears who's looked at it. It's in the RFC repo. It's pull request number 93, add RFC for new Gen Cap write. Let's go around here looking at stuff. Andy, have you read it? Do you have a vote?
I have read it. My vote is yes.
Yes. Gordon.
I have not read it.
Okay. Benoit.
I say yes.
Yes. Theo?
I say yes.
Joe, I assume you're going to vote for your own thing, right?
Yeah.
I too vote for this, and I thought Ace Lock was going to sleep, but hey, welcome.
Thank you.
Wait. Okay. Anyway. All right. Let's not get distracted about it. All right. So then, I believe we have a new RFC. RFC accepted. I'll put that in there. Theo, you've been transferring the issues over and doing the last little bit. Could you do that for this one?
Sure.
Do you have time?
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So here, let me. Boom. In it goes. All righty. All right, we're through the RFCs. We got a lot of PRs. Let's see, what do we have here? Do not merge. So Sylvan's not around, and you asked him to review the split reach types into generic and LLVM specific ones. Did you want to save a discussion on that for when he's around, Benoit? Or did you want to have a discussion otherwise?
Last week he seemed okay with the motivation for that PR. So since the CI is passing, I think unless somebody has a unless somebody doesn't want it merged right now, I think we can go ahead.
Has anybody had a look through? CI is passing. I'm not an LLVM person, but it looked pretty straightforward to me. But I'm not an expert. Joe, anybody else? Merge, wait until Sylvan looks. Thoughts?
I think we should be able to merge it.
Cool. All right. Let's, boom. All right. There goes one. That was 2026, by the way, for people who are listening along at home. This is a good one here. So 1844, that's the Alpine Linux compatibility for Pony. I believe at this point we would just be need dip into rebase, and that would be good. Like it appears to have fallen through the cracks for merging. Joe, you had asked about that 3 days ago. I don't know of any reason why it shouldn't be merged. Does anybody else? I'll take that as a no. Okay. What do we have next year? Let's go in backwards order. 2058, Benoit's one to destroy all actors on runtime termination.
I was hoping that a comment could be added where I mentioned this to give a little bit of context to that stack declaration. Other than that, I have no problem with it.
Did you see this? Was that after he renamed it to pending?
I guess I didn't see the rename. Checking right now.
He renamed it to a pending destroy stack.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. Okay.
All right. Boom. Away we go. Another one in. 2056. It says add a compile time check for actor pad size. I don't feel even vaguely comfortable in this section of the code base, so I don't have anything to say on this, and I would defer any thoughts I have on to Sylvan. I don't know if anybody else is familiar with that code base and wants to sign off on this.
Yeah, I must say I'm not familiar with the padding. I'd have to read through it, take a look. I can try to do that in the next few days.
All right, or we can leave it for next time. This is something that can wait until like next week when Sylvan's around. Yeah, Benoit?
Yes, it doesn't fix any bugs, so this is fine.
Cool. Okay. Refactor page map. I think you wanted to. Refactor page map. This is PR 2055. So this was just naming and types, right, Benoit? If I understood it correctly, there's no change to the actual stuff, or is there a real logical change in this?
No, there shouldn't be any logical change.
Yeah, that's what it looked like to me. I'm comfortable with merging this. Anybody have any lack of comfort? I'll take that as a no, and I will hit rebase and merge. Bang, bang, bang. 2044, this is Paul's. Add C pointer to string, add copy underscore C pointer to string class to copy fixed number of bytes. Looks like there's still outstanding stuff on this from your question, Joe. Yes?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a, it's not an important question because his change is equivalent. I think I'm just curious why it was changed, and I want to understand it because I think the putting the condition in the while condition makes more sense stylistically, unless there's some subtle point that I'm missing here.
Right. Shall we leave this open for now, or do we want to merge?
Let's leave it open for now. I just want to get a response back from Paul. We can be merged as soon as we understand what's going on.
Okay. This is a Joe one. 2043, fix overly restrictive field reference rule and recover expressions. I'm certainly not even vaguely qualified to comment on this.
Yeah, Paul had an outstanding question for discussion. I posed a counter question. so you would just I'll slap the do not merge label on it for now, just so that it's clear.
Okay.
That we need to discuss it more first. I'll mark it for a discussion during sync, just because if Paul or Sylvan is present, we can probably get it finished, ironed out.
Cool. 2041. This certainly needs to be rebased before it be merged. But Benoit, did he address your comment and your changes, or are we looking for more other than that at this point?
Yes, he did. He did implement the requested modification. So the problem in his comment is that I don't understand why a literal call a literal operator call doesn't have type TK operator literal. So I think we'll have to take a look at the existing little inference rules, because there might be a problem there.
Okay, so we should not merge this until we've done that?
Well, I think it's fine without the test. So maybe we can just ask him to rebase and then merge. And if there is a problem with literal inference, then it's not related to this change anyway.
Alrighty. Well, hopefully he comes back and rebases that soon. Then, hey, it can be his first contribution. That would be awesome. I love it anytime we merge new contributions from folks. Kevin's not around for that. Not sure why that has a do not merge. But okay. So Joe, do you want to talk about Gordon's thing that came up with the sugar related to explicit partial calls on 2039?
Yeah. I'm in the midst of fixing that. I wasn't necessarily aware that there would be legitimate cases for having the operator sugar called to be partial. But I think the solution that was what the automatic script did for the migration of putting the question mark after the operator makes sense, unless anybody has a problem with that, and it wasn't a detail that was in the original RFC, so it's something we might want to discuss.
I agree. I was surprised. I went back and looked at the RFC and was like, "Oh, we didn't catch that in the RFC."
Yeah. So I think it does make sense to say like plus question mark. And I'm working right now on the implementation to make that work. It's pretty close. I just have to clean up a few compiler tests related to if-def that happen to use the binary operator parsing rules. So the long story short is that if everyone's okay with that answer, I'll go ahead and make it work the way that Gordon's snippet showed, and then his code should be passing. At that point, where the other thing that's going on with this this pull request that I don't really understand is the CI. That's the RFC pull request. The CI is failing consistently for Linux LLVM 3.9. Which is weird because that's the platform that I develop on, and all the other ones are passing. And I don't understand how this change could have made an LLVM specific, platform specific bug.
I'm not seeing that for the latest failures. I'm seeing where there's some code that uses Pony Stable with Pony Stable's not working with this. The failure seemed to be because it's using Pony Stable for something as part of this as well.
Oh, is that something that it does on only the Linux?
Yeah. There are a couple things that we run only on that, which. So let's check the Travis real quick and see what might be going on for that.
I don't see it in the output, though. I just see the Travis. Oh, the log is too long to display. Okay.
Yeah. So if you go down, it ends up it's Pony Stable is not building.
Okay. I mean, of course it's not, right? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, that makes sense. So I guess the answer is that we should merge it. Well, once I fix Gordon's issue, merge this anyway and then quickly fix Pony Stable.
Yeah, I think that would make sense. So, I mean, this is also interesting because, so basically this is failing because it's verifying that the changelog build tool will continue to work as part of this, and that requires Pony Stable.
Right.
Which is interesting. I never thought of that when we did that.
Yeah, I mean, we're hopefully not going to be making too many world-breaking changes like this. And luckily, this is a fairly trivial one to clean up. So, yeah. But yeah, I think our best answer is to go ahead and, well, once I fix Gordon's thing, go ahead and merge this, and then I'll do a PR to Pony Stable to get that ironed out. But then it will no longer work with any PRs that are not rebased on the latest.
Yeah, I think something that we could consider doing as well with this is we're being rather naive with what we're doing with how we build Pony Stable here and stuff like this, and we might want to consider, do we want to have it be where we try to check whatever branch it is that we're on, and if that branch exists in like Pony Stable or changelog tool or other repos, that we go ahead and we use that branch there so that we could have corresponding changes for something like this. I don't know, it's something we could think about in the future, or maybe this just isn't going to happen enough that we really care to add that level of complication.
Yeah. I mean, I hope it's not going to happen very often. Yeah.
It is kind of annoying that, like, oh, look, here we can't pass this on CI because this other thing, which we don't want to update until this is merged, is failing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it might sort of come with the territory of like dog fooding Pony for the changelog tool.
On the other hand, This is the last test. Like, all the Pony C tests would have run and passed by this point. It does the Pony C test and then it does the verifying of the changelog. So
yeah. So at least you can confirm you're not breaking anything, quote, real.
Yeah.
Okay. And the other thing is, I think I have some other rebasing to do based on PRs that have been merged since then, but I'll do that rebasing and I'll fix Gordon's issue. I'll get Gordon's thumbs up, and then we'll merge it and then I'll fix Pony's.
Before we merge it, let me get a chance sometime. I'll do it by like sometime on Saturday at the latest to make sure that the update script stuff works on OSX as well.
Yep. That sounds great. I'll get Gordon's thumbs up, and I'll get your thumbs up.
Yeah. Okay. But
if somebody else could test the Windows script, that would be great as well.
That's not going to be me. I don't have any Windows. Windows scares me. Although I keep, for whatever reason, I keep thinking about going, I'll switch my development environment over to be using WSL inside of Windows 10. But given that I don't know how to use
it. I tried that for a while. It's not good. Don't do it.
Then you have two problems.
I'm not sure why I keep thinking this, because I don't know how to use Windows. So I should probably stop thinking things like that. Anyway, before we move on to issues, because we're almost at the halfway point, I figure we'll open it up now for any discussion that there might be. And when we finish that, we can see what we can get through for issues. So other than first saying welcome to Ace Luck, who I don't know your real name, but if you want to say hi to everyone, that's cool. You'll be out there with the world. But you're in I know he's in Singapore, and so it's really late or early for him, depending on how you look at it. Welcome to your first sync. I don't know if you have any issues you wanted to bring up or anybody else in general, so I'll just open it up.
Yeah, my name is Aslak. It's very close to Aslak, I guess, but my spelling is Norwegian, so it's a bit funny. Anyway, yeah, it's 4 a.m. here, so I'm probably too sleepy to contribute much on this talk, but just discovered Pony, and it's a really fascinating language. So I'm very keen to hear how the process is going, and it seems very good so far.
Did I ask you about the My First Pony series?
No.
So I'm trying to start a series of blog posts that are on the Pony website by folks like in the first couple weeks of when they're using Pony for early impressions, problems that they had or whatever. If you'd be interested in doing that, it would be I'd love to get more posts from people on that. So you could drop me an email if you are interested on that. Like pretty much basically the only caveat on it is I ask folks not to like run down other languages or whatnot, because we're trying to you know, extol the virtues and problems of Pony rather than beating on problems that other languages might have. So if that's something that would interest you, then shoot me an email.
All right, I'll do that.
Do we have anything, any folks got anything they want to discuss, or should we move on to issues?
I would just mention that if you're just interested in listening in on the sync calls and don't want to get up at 4 a.m., they are, I don't know if you're already aware, but they are recorded and posted online every week. So if you're just interested in listening to see what happened this week, you can always just drop in and listen to that recording.
Yeah, and there's an email which is sent to the Pony developer list that has the link after each time after I upload it, and also the Pony Lang Twitter account also tweets them out when they go up. So, yeah, and then they're always in the same basic place in our groups.io.
Excellent. Yeah, I've listened to some previous recordings already, so I'm not worried about it.
All right. How about some issues then? How far do we go? I never had a chance to listen to the last couple weeks. Did you guys do any issues at all last week, Joe?
I don't remember offhand which ones we did, but okay. We definitely did talk about some issues.
So there's, here's a couple that have, needs discussion during sync. So let's go ahead and start with those. And then see, so we have 1998. This is a TCP listener may have a memory exploit.
Yeah, so this is an issue that the ticket author originally thought, I think, was an issue with HTTP server in Pony. And after the ticket author did some great investigation work with Wireshark and so on, found out that it's actually mostly a bug in the WRK load testing tool. In that it's not sending FIN properly when a connection's closed. So then the reason why I changed the ticket title and kept it open is that this may be a security problem for a malicious client who intentionally does not send the FIN. It opens a bunch of connections, doesn't send the FIN, but closes them on their end so that they have a ton of connections open without actually having to hold them open on their end. So they're causing a disproportionate burden on our side without having to maintain it on their side. So that's kind of the basic witch's brew of a you know, a DDoS attack of some kind. So.
Yeah, so I think if we could mitigate this, that would be great. Despite spending probably more time in the Pony networking code than anybody else, I'm not actually, I mean, other than using the standard BSD stuff, I'm not, you know, it's expecting like normal stuff on that. I'm not sure what we could do, but I think it's worth at least putting this as either enhancement or bug needs investigation, right? And then somebody could look at if there's something we could do for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, offhand, I'm not sure what we would do about it. Like if we can detect that a connection's been closed on the other side without getting the fin, and, or if we need to set some kind of, I don't know, like heartbeat or limit or something like that. I don't know what the possible mitigation strategies would be. So yeah, I'm going to just set bug needs investigation. If somebody investigates and finds out that it's not really a bug, that's fine.
Yeah, I think it would be more of an enhancement, but that's like we're getting into semantics at that point of, you know, yeah, who knows. So that seems like a perfectly reasonable thing to do.
Okay.
1993. This is the constructors don't have doc strings generated, right? And we talked about this at one point for a little bit, and it was the I looked at this with Sylvan as well. This is the why on earth does this code even execute the traits.c stuff?
Yeah.
The trait pass is runs on every method, whether it's part of a thread or not. Like if it's been a while since I touched that pass, so I look at the code to make sure I'm not telling wrong things.
So if it is doing that, Sylvan was certainly surprised by it. Joe was surprised by it.
Yeah, I was surprised by it. I mean, the code that sits in front of that function seems like it's limiting just talk about traits. But yeah, if you know something different, then that's great to find out.
Yeah, but then should it be running? Like, are we somehow relying on something from that? Or is this just a bug that snuck in and it didn't trigger any it didn't trigger any noticeable errors except for maybe this? I guess we have no idea and we need to investigate, right? Yeah?
Yeah, I think Benoit was kind of taking a look at it right now, but I mean, we may just want to...
Yes, so it's line 'Wait, so that method is that which doesn't have a doc string, it's an actor constructor.
Is it timers? Yes, it's an actor constructor.
Then, yeah, it shouldn't run on it shouldn't run on that. So yeah, it's probably a bug.
Okay. All right. So we have a what is probably an easy bug, I would say. It might take a little bit of time to track down, but once it is, it should be, I assume it's probably an easy fix. So that seems good. Okay. Let's see what else we have here. Let's start from the top, maybe. This is the one that we were just talking about on ours. See, a little while ago, intermittent files, file write fee large failure. This is 2059. What on earth is the unhandled error? Had you looked into it at all with him, or you just have him open the issue?
I haven't looked into to this one at all. All I did was
I see
that the other PR solved the other problems that
All of these file tests are inside a large try block, and it just, if it hits any error in that at all, it goes ahead and it says unhandled error.
Okay, so we just need somebody to investigate what is being raised there.
So, yeah. Okay. All errors in
Oh, hey, I'm looking at this on my explicit partial call branch, so I can tell where the possible errors might be. So there's one on the let file path equals new file path. The file path could fail to get created. There's one on getting the next line in the file.
So 504 and then
511.
504, 511.
And then everywhere we see as well. So that would include create file, as file, both of those lines. So those are the four lines where an error can be raised. Maybe it's having trouble. Let's see, how's the path generated? Maybe it's having trouble writing the file. Like maybe it can't write a file called temp.large.
That's possible.
I guess it's trying to create it in the current working directory, right?
Yeah.
Well, I can create a branch tonight that wraps each one of these partial calls in a try block with a more explicit error message that he can run again and find out running on those packaging tests and find out what debug message we see. For which line.
Okay.
And it probably has something to do with not being allowed to create the file. Yeah, thank you, explicit partial call.
Okay, so yeah, that's good. Okay, so we have that one. Awesome. Okay, So that's a nice little bit of progress there. So, Paul opened one, 2042, 5 days ago. I have not looked at this one at all. These are all things from when I was away. Oh, this is interesting.
I haven't looked at it either, but I think I have some good context for it, so maybe I'll get a look at it soon.
Theo, it says you broke it. Just kidding. Oh, those
are no.
Bad. You're a bad man. Uh, 2038, there's nothing to go over on that, right? Joe?
No, other than maybe doing a sanity check for other I don't know if Paul has had a chance to see this yet, but Paul might have some comments. I mean, Sylvan definitely thought it was safe when we discussed it on the last sync call. So, I mean, if nobody can come up with any objections, we can probably go ahead and implement it. But, yeah.
Okay. Well, needs discussion during sync. Issues, what do we have? This is labels, bug in progress. Okay. Did you guys go over 2030 last time? Looks like it, as you commented around this time, like 7 days ago. Yeah, it's ready for work, whatnot. Yep, okay. So I'm going to assume then that that's back through the any of the ones that we mostly have. So let's bring up one from 15 million years ago and we can try and decide something to do with it. 1942, the net broadcast failures that happen based on your environment in your particular one where you're running. So like if you turn a firewall on and you run the Pony Standard Library test, and the broadcast ones pretty much always fail.
Yeah, I don't know that there's anything for us to do about this. Other than, like I said, maybe add some output for the failed test that says, like we could add a log message to the test that says, you know, if this test fails, check your firewall settings
What about also adding like a label or something on the test so that if you're running on a machine where you're not going to be turning the firewall off all the time, where you could run excluding this, the like test that might have this problem. Right. And we could have people do that, or are we not really worried about that?
I mean, that'd be fair to do. Yeah. I mean, I think it's something that we would definitely want to be enabled by default.
Yeah.
If we want to be testing for it. I don't know. I don't know if there's, so Theo, when you opened this ticket, were you running like as part of this like effort of trying to package for OpenSUSE, or were you just running on an OpenSUSE machine?
I was just running on OpenSUSE. Yeah.
Okay.
This occurs on multiple operating systems that I use on a regular basis.
Yeah, it happens on OS X if you have the default firewall on. Yeah.
Yeah.
This test fails for me sometimes. Fails for me when I'm at my mother's house, even though I didn't change my firewall because of something about how the network is set up.
I think it's a default firewall setting for most operating systems.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely remember back when I started working with some other networking libraries, I just ended up turning off this firewall setting on my belt machine in general. But yeah.
Dear everybody listening, apparently that no pony developers have firewalls on and we're easily exploitable. That's the takeaway.
Well, I mean, I have my firewall on, but I disabled this rule.
I just let the test fail.
I don't have various like UDP servers running that people can go on. So Theo, what are your thoughts on this? Is just adding a message enough, or do you think we should add a test group? What would consider this result for you?
I think there should definitely at least be a message, but of course this doesn't really cause any problems for me at least, and I don't know of anyone else complaining about this, so I think just a message might be fine.
I think it would be good to provide the means for people to get around it if they don't want to turn their firewall off. Like, I don't know, I just imagine somebody comes along and they first want to start working on Pony, like, hey, turn your firewall off. you know?
Okay.
The amount of extra work to add a label and tell people how to use the label, right, to exclude that test, versus the optics of saying, you know, somebody said, I would try a Pony and told me to turn off my firewall. You know, yeah, just seems like.
Well, I don't think the message should tell you to turn off your firewall. It should just say, like, hey, this test is failing because of this setting in your firewall. You know, you can just take that in mind and know that that test will fail.
Yeah.
I don't know that the test is probably failing because of the firewall if it's on.
Yeah,
so they should try running. They should try running with firewall off to verify.
Yeah, so I'm fine with. I mean, Sean, it sounds like you have the strongest opinion about this. So I'm fine with whatever you're happy with for a solution with this. You can maybe just add a comment to the ticket and say this is what needs to be done, and do it.
Okay. Boom, I've been writing it and updating it and changing it as we've been talking about it. So it's in.
All right.
We have this one of Paul's from, which has a needs discussion during sync going way back. It's about the type system and ephemerality. So we should come back next time Paul's in one. We should check on to see where that is. I'll just leave that tagged.
Yeah, I mean, we need to get Paul and Sylvan together in the same call because I think Sylvan was generally opposed to this, and so I think we need them to talk it out.
Yep. Okay, I think that's probably everything, I believe. Everything's been tagged and whatnot, it looks like. We got the new ones. I think we're...
I have a pet peeve on an even older issue, 1708.
Ooh, 1708. Let's go find 1708. How far back do I have to go? Third page.
Yeah. I had the needs discussion on the sync call tag because I wanted to check with Sylvan and ask him what the status was. I guess we should just leave it on there and check with him next time unless he responds to the ticket. I know he's quite busy, so yeah. I just know because he assigned himself to it, and if someone else needs to take a look, we should know that.
Oh, so this does have I didn't do the thing that I normally do, which is where I search for needs discussion during sync. I just assumed everything was on the first page. So that's my bad. And sync fault on compilation. We should check to see if that still goes boom. Here's one that doesn't appear to have anything on it. 2013. Oh, this is interesting.
So, yeah, I think, you know, there's two things going on here. One thing is that if you specify -1, it allocates a, what is it, 4 gigabyte string, which is probably not what you want, but I'm not sure what the best way to get around that is. But this actually made Benoit notice a bug in string.reserve, which he...
Do we have a ticket for that?
I think this ticket would be that, because I don't think this would seg fault under normal circumstances without that bug. Okay. I think it would result in a huge allocation only.
So bug, this is basically bug ready for work.
Which one it is?
2013.
Yeah, what you said, Benoit, is there's a bug in string.reserve too. If the reserve size is usize.maxValue, the function will add 1 for the null terminator and overflow, resulting in a string that thinks it has lots of memory available but actually didn't allocate anything. So yeah, I think it is a bug ready for work.
And
medium priority, or is this one that we'd want to do a release for when it comes up? I could see doing a release for SegVault Kaboom for something like that.
Well, yeah, I think it should be a release probably, but I wanted to do a release anyway for the explicit partial calls.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying I tag them with high so that when it goes through, I can see, aha, there was that. We said that we wanted to trigger a release from that. So we can open it, and then we open an issue, and then we can discuss whether, are there other things we want to get in, et cetera, blah, 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 that are close. Cool.
And on this subject of strings and null terminators, I've been thinking for a long time that maybe we should remove the null terminator from the from pony strings, because we have the size stored next to it. We don't need the null terminator, and append it lazily when we call a C string.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you on all of that. I've been pushing that for a while. So far, we've only gotten as far as we are now, which is the string doesn't have to have a null terminator. Some of them will, some of them won't. And then you have to call .cstring to say, I want a null terminator on this string. And if it's already there, it won't allocate it or copy anything. And if it's not there, it will. I mean, the other side of this is that if you're dealing with, the not necessarily devil's advocate, but the Sylvan's advocate, because I think he's the other side of it is that if you're dealing with a lot of C APIs via FFI that expect null terminators, and you want to just be creating string literals in your code and expecting them to have null terminators on them so that you can pass them the C APIs, I mean, having the null terminator on there by default makes it so that you don't have to do a copy for those calls, you know, a new allocation and a copy. So it could add performance in those cases. I mean, my counter argument to that is that most of the performance critical APIs we want to call in C are going to be length specified and not depending on a null terminator, just because that's a more performant way of dealing with strings generally. That's my take on it. Basically, Benoit, I completely agree with you. Let's conspire to convince Sylvan and anyone else who disagrees with us.
What are you conspiring to convince people of?
That pony strings should not use null terminators internally unless you call .cstring.
I'm confused. So if there is an null terminator there, we should strip it off?
No. Right now, every string operation in Pony, when you're dealing with a mutable string, like basically anywhere where it's possible, Pony is going to try to insert a null terminator for you at every opportunity, unless, like, there are a few cases now that I kind of pushed for where you can sort of, like, let's say you have a string and you want to take the first half of it.
Yeah, the trim was.
Without copying. Now there's no null terminator on that string. It's length specified. Yep. And you can pass it around without copying it and without the null terminator being on there. But then if you ever need to call a C function that doesn't have a buffer size argument that you can pass to it,
you have to
call .cstring, which will implicitly do the copy and append of null terminator if it doesn't end in a null terminator already.
Yes. But I wasn't aware of the first part. I wasn't aware that we were still adding null terminators anywhere.
Yeah, it's still everywhere where it's possible, we're adding a null terminator, and it complicates the string code base unnecessarily.
Well, I was actually in there. I fixed a bug in there, and I didn't even notice that. And I was wondering why there were still comments about null terminators. There, I was really confused by their existence, but then I left for vacation, and I forgot to ask. So, thank you. I could have, my recollection was when we made that change that we'd gotten rid of all of that, but obviously my recollection was wrong and I never actually bothered looking at the code to verify my recollection. I would like to do that change too.
Okay. Well, Benoit, do you want to write up an RFC for it and then we can all sort of pile on that?
Yes. And also one nice thing that would be possible to do is now that we have if type, we on immutable strings to copy the data and add the null terminator, and on mutable strings to simply add it lazily.
Okay, so just to check, the original string object would still not have a, let's talk about it in the RFC. I think I'm on board, but I want to make sure that I understand what you're saying.
Yes, okay.
Alrighty. I believe we're at the end. Does anybody have anything that they want to go over before we get to the end? Nope. Okay. All right. Awesome. Thanks for coming, everyone. See you next week. And have a good one. Bye-bye.